Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to...
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, ba-doo.
This podcast is part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here at What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of Nancy Drew starring Kennedy McMahon. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm good. How are you?
Fabulous. Today we're going to be talking about Season 4, Episode 4, The Return of the Killer's Hook.
I was very excited because all I knew about this one was that Bess was going to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's going to be great. And I was like, I, of course, have been in the movie too, so.
You have. Do you want to plug the movie you were in?
Yeah. So it was just this little movie with George Clooney in it and Anna Kendrick, Up in the Air, filmed here. And so if you look, when they're eating dinner and they're talking about all the miles and all that, I'm at the table behind them in a brown suit that I borrowed from my grandmother.
I'm a bad friend. I have never watched that movie.
It's a very depressing movie. I have watched it once.
Just to be like, there I am.
Yep.
That's awesome. This episode is about a movie taking place, and we open up on a very sad Nancy at Icarus Hall. I've switched. I'm just Icarus Hall now this season. Okay. There's too much spooky stuff happening there. So if she starts doing more detective work, hold up. She needs to do detective work. Whatever happened to Chunky the Ferret?
I think he's still at large.
If that doesn't get solved, this season will be a major disappointment for me.
God, I hope they find them.
I'm just kidding. All right. So Nancy's very sad, and she's listening to a series of voicemails from supportive members of her friend group and family.
Yeah, I love Ryan calling himself dad number two, you know, getting worried about you.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet that he's checking in. So Bess was telling her to write inspirational post-its. So all the ones that were around, did Nancy write herself?
Oh, maybe.
Because at first I thought that, like, listening to it quick, I thought it was like Bess said, oh, I put up the inspirational post-it notes, or how are those working?
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering if Nancy did them.
I don't know. It is funny if Nancy did them, because then she crumbles one up. But yeah, because if Bess wrote them, then that's kind of rude. But valid, because she's upset.
Yeah. But it'd also be very cute if Nancy did try that and was like, okay, I will write these and I will see if it makes me feel better.
That's my headcanon now.
Yeah.
And Nick checks in. And then we have George, which was my favorite and was the one that really got me. I do not miss you. I am not worried. But she's like, oh, I do. It was cute.
She's like, I'm sorry, you broke your heart. Call me back. And then we see that Nancy's out of sorbet.
Oh, no. I didn't even put that together. He got her all that sorbet. He just kept buying her sorbet.
And now there's no more sorbet.
Why was he buying her so much sorbet?
Because it was in the alternate reality where Ryan had died. And so he just kept showing up trying to cheer her up, and she wouldn't see him. And so he just kept leaving sorbet for her.
So he didn't actually bring her sorbet.
In the dream.
Yes.
Hallucination.
Yes.
That's what it's called, right? Yeah. That's when he brought all the sorbet. So he didn't even know that he did that.
And then luckily a scream happens, and she jumps into action, runs through the woods, trips over a body. This all happened very quickly.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. Heads on hooks dropping down. And then this woman screams as she runs by, and Nancy gets a stick and takes out the hook man.
A big stick.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you told me what the premise of this episode was going to be, because I was like, oh, okay, cool. Because at first I would have been like, why is her head on a hook? That was a very big jump from the kind of things we normally see on this show.
Yeah. And looked a lot more fake than all the props and stuff that usually are used in Nancy.
Right, right. Yeah. Isn't that funny when they make TV shows and movies on a TV show or a movie? It's always just a little off. It's not how they actually do it, because it has to look like they're making it.
Right. So someone shows up and yells cut and says, oh, you know, we have a permit. It's a movie set. And Nancy's just like, oh, shoot.
And we go to the title screen, and then we come back and find out that the movie is being shot in her backyard, And we get a returning person. Wasn't there a bit of fun before this episode on Twitter or on some social media where they were like, guess who the returning person is?
Yeah, I think that Kennedy posted like that we get a season 3 returning person. And so I had no idea. I don't know if it was on IMDb or anything, but I was like, well, I hope it's a podcaster. I hope it's Lacey.
And that's then impressive.
And I was like, whoa, it's Lacey.
We had the actor that played Park. He responded to it, right? Saying that he wanted it to be Cake Stand.
Yeah, he did. I love him so much.
Made me want it to be him.
Of course.
Maybe. Maybe sometime.
I hope so.
But we do have Lacey, which was exciting. And she is directing the movie.
I love that she immediately saw Nancy and knew she was on like heartbreak outfit. Like just looking at her, she's like, oh, she's not doing well.
Yeah, how did they end the last episode that Lacey was in? Because I got a weird vibe through a lot of this that Sheila wasn't like super happy with Nancy in the sense, not like mad at her, but she didn't want her to help. And she kind of like, I don't know. I was like, I thought that Nancy was helpful to you.
I got the impression that she didn't want the help because she didn't want to admit that like she needed, that there was a problem that needed that help. That was my impression.
I like that. And yeah, she was never really rude to Nancy. It was just kind of like, nope, don't need you. And I was like, well, you do. But that makes a lot of sense if she's worried about the movie being shut down.
Yeah.
Nancy stopped listening to her podcast after Detective Con, which was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And people should never stop listening to podcasts.
No,
like and subscribe.
Leave a review if you want. So we find out that Lacey had written her own version of Long Hook, which was originally a slasher film in the 90s that filmed in Horseshoe Bay. She said that the original one, the only black character dies within the first 10 minutes, but in Long Hook 2020, love that we're still in 2020, the lead is a kick-ass black woman. We see her and the crew are like very supportive and getting along really well. And that's good to see, knowing what's happening here.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a clue. I thought this episode did a good job of kind of laying out some red herrings for us and also laying out the, like, we could have solved this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that with a mystery. It's there, but they're still, like, I like how it played out. There were a few times this episode that I was actually surprised.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this makes sense for the season.
Yeah, we find out that starting 3 days ago, there had been weird stuff going on. They're already behind schedule. While Nancy's there, there's like the static and talking over the comms and heavy breathing and someone saying you're a nightmare.
Okay, so I couldn't make it out the first time. Like, I didn't understand what they were saying. I just heard staticky, spooky noises. I know that they go back and show that it said you're a nightmare, but I didn't hear that in the moment.
Yeah, right now I don't remember if I heard it or if it's because I watch it with the subtitles.
Oh.
And maybe I saw it there.
Okay.
Lacey starts saying like, oh yeah, all this weird stuff is going on, we could have used a Nancy Drew. And Nancy is so excited and she's like, all right, I'm here, I'm available. And she was like, oh, I didn't mean, you know, not literally, but it was so great to see you. And she takes off.
Yeah, and it was sad. And then Nancy just picks up her stick.
I think Kennedy actually kept that stick.
Really?
I'm pretty sure on Instagram or Twitter, she was like, yeah, she kept the stick because it was like weird squishy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. We go over to the claw where we have George and Nick. And I had a moment of what's going on? Because Nick's shirt was a little close to the one he wore in episode 2.
You mean the one that you now own?
Yes. You'll have to explain it for our listeners. Is it a website you go to? You find the actual like
places?
Oh, it's
like, yeah, I think it's like worntontv.com.
Okay. So yeah. It's not specific to the CW or Nancy Drew.
No.
Oh, cool. So Sarah was able, I told Sarah in episode 2 that Nick's like orangey, like I think I said it on here that I liked it when he was wearing that ugly hat that we have never seen again. But that I liked that flannel and you like found it and I ordered it and it showed up and it's cute.
Yeah.
Not as cute as it is on Nick, but I'll work it out. I'll work it out.
Is it actually like flannel? Like,
yeah,
can't wear
thick.
It in the summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited for when it gets to be fall because then I'll just magically have a new item of clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So excited. All right. So anyways, they're having a conversation. George does not remember that the movie crew is filming at the Claw. And they have this whole back and forth thing about giving each other space and trying not to depend on him.
Yeah, and giving space does not mean not checking your email for the contract about it.
I snapped my fingers. Yeah. He was sassy in this episode, and I liked it.
Yes. George is saying she wants to make sure there's extra bottled water because she doesn't want people drinking the town water. And he's like, I don't think that's actually necessary. And she's like, are you serious? This is absolutely necessary. And I was trying to meet with Bree about it, but it got blown off. And he was like, wait, you're meeting with Bree? And she's like, oh, well, now I got to give you space and not meet with Bree.
Yeah.
She was coming in hot.
It was. She was. But I think I was with her.
Yeah.
It was all very natural and it felt very breakup, but still being forced to be around each other. Because they don't hate each other. Like, no part of them hates each other.
Yeah.
But they're acting like we're trying to be friends and we've broken up. And it felt good, like, as an audience member.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like Nick is not quite himself here. And I think he finds himself by the end of the episode.
And she calls him out on that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. They're investigating Bree. They see that she has no social media posts in almost a week. And she is a daily poster. So that's a red flag there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear from the other room.
You're not the pizza guy. When I tell you I lost my mind every time she said that line. It is Bess who's rehearsing her one line of the role she gets to play in The Long Hook.
Yeah, she is Long Hook victim number one.
Which I think is funny and cool because of what Lacey said. So instead of it being a black person, it's now a British lady. Just funny to be the first to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they flipped it, which is very modern and good to be progressive. And she was just so excited to have anything.
Yeah.
And great that she's rehearsing it because some people would get one line and be like, I'll just figure it out when I get there.
Yeah, but no, she's trying everything. George and Nick are not helpful, though. So she's like, fine, I'll just call Ace. Before she does, Ryan comes in and is asking her about Nancy because she won't, you know, talk to him, or she hasn't replied to him since the whole Ace thing. And Bess is like, well, she did just text in a coffee order. And so Nancy comes in and
wearing real clothes. She looked sad, but she looked better than she did in the woods.
Yes, she did. She tells Ryan that she thinks she may have found a way out of her funk. She hasn't been hired, per se, but she's going to do the investigating for Long Hook.
Oh, and no, she's going to do the investigating for Long Claw.
Yes, Long Claw.
And oh, Ryan, Nancy.
Ryan is so excited because that was one of his favorite movies. And so she's like, great, you're going to help me.
It's very cute how excited he is to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I was like, oh, he's just excited because of the movie. But also he's excited because she's excited. And so he wants to help her get out of her funk, and solving the case will help her get out of the funk. So I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Carson. I think I'm team dad number two right now.
I don't think we need to take teams.
I mean, it's a TV show. You kind of have to.
Not for dads.
Okay, I enjoy Ryan. I mean, like, ranking favorite characters.
Yes, that's
fine. I think I'm pro Ryan over Carson right now. That was literally all I meant.
Okay.
I'm not saying she should pick him as her father.
That's kind of what it sounded like.
That is what it sounded like. That is not what I meant.
Okay, so I would like to hear your best American. You're not the pizza guy.
You're not the pizza guy. Wait, the American. What was that, Forrest Gump? What was that?
I thought you were just going to say what she said.
I didn't write down what Bess said. Oh. So Bess decides to try it in a few different accents. And she's got Ace on FaceTime. And
God, you're not the pizza guy.
Which was funny, but immediately followed up by my favorite line of the entire series.
What was that?
Blimey, mate, where's the pizza guy? She tries an Australian accent, which is hilarious because I feel like, I obviously did not just do an Australian accent, but I feel like those are hard to do because they're close to British.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so her doing this, like, over-exaggerated blimey mate was so funny. I rewound it. I watched it like three times. And Ace is a heartless person because he does not laugh at all.
No, but he was being supportive. And like at the end, he was like wishing her luck in that.
I know.
Yes, but yeah. And I think he did. Well, no, when she did it, he said like, oh, I believed I was the pizza guy. So he was giving feedback. Not to the blimey one. I think it was to the first one.
Oh, yeah. No, the blimey, he says nothing. Yeah. There's no reaction.
Okay, like, what would you say?
I would say that's gold. Do it. Maybe not supportive. She gets fired from the park. Okay.
Okay, so then, you know, a little bit of a mood killer because she asks if Ace has talked to Nancy.
And oh, I took it like, as she directly did that as an attack at him not laughing at her.
Bess would not do that.
I know. She tries to see how he's doing, and he's like, well, I wouldn't even know what to say to Nancy.
And then Chief Lovett comes in, and Bess is immediately distracted because she's been dodging Chief Lovett since Avery's father was going to report her for giving teens access to supernatural resources.
Did it annoy you at all that Bess is like loud whisper? I know it's a TV
very
show.
Very loud.
Like, I can't say calling. Anything right now because Chief Lovett's behind me and I'm avoiding her. She like shifts back and forth in the booth. I'm like, mm-hmm. You are drawing the most attention to yourself.
Yeah. I had the exact same thought. And then this was one of my favorite scenes where we go over to the movie set. Nancy is talking about how maybe the movie has accidentally invoked the spirit of Longhorn. And Ryan's like, no, Long Hook. And didn't happen because the original writer was Tom Brooker, not an actual ghost. And then Lacey comes up and is like, what are you doing here? Nancy's like, oh, don't worry, I'm investigating for free.
Asks if she can observe, and Lacey's like, I can't really stop you. And then Nancy poo-poos on the romantic moment of the movie very loudly, and I laughed very hard.
Yeah. She's in case I never come back, I have to say it. It's you. It'll always be you. Oh, please. Always. It's never always.
So they cut for her talking. I feel like Lacey could have kicked her out there if she really wanted to.
I love that Ryan's just like, you're not supposed to talk unless you're in the movie.
Being very helpful.
And I know that from my days on set.
Days for their multiple.
It was one day, but it was a really long day.
Luckily, there is a real scream before Nancy can get kicked off for talking, and they rush in the other room where there is a creepy message written in what appears to be blood on a mirror.
You will die today.
And Lacey hires Nancy, finally. So we didn't have to deal with that all episode.
And then Ryan and Nancy high five. That was a really cute moment because, like, they didn't make eye contact. Like, Nancy just reaches over her shoulder and he high fives her back.
Yeah. They're in sync. All right. So Nancy asks Lacey for potential suspects. Lacey says that everyone working on the movie has become like family. And she's determined to finish. The becomes like family there did get me because earlier, I don't think we mentioned it, but Nancy asked or said something about Lacey's grandma who mm-hmm. was in the previous episode. And we get a face from Lacey and I'm like, oop, grandma's gone. Grandma's dead. Yeah. So when she's talking about like family, I'm like, all right, this is what that is hinting at.
Mm-hmm. It also made me a little bit sad because I thought about how everyone on Tom Swift talked about how making that show was like family. And I'm like,
Oh, God. Then you messaged me because Bess shows up in a garment that you found for me that I did not order just because sometimes women's clothes don't fit me because I am a very tall man. And
it looks super comfortable, though.
Oh, my God. It was like a plush velour kind of pink ensemble, just a jogging suit, mm-hmm. but I loved. I also have one too similar to it already.
Okay, that's fair then. Bess is like, welcome to set. Like, she just runs the place now. I thought it was really cute how Nancy's like, should I call you victim number one or is Bess okay? Like, she's teasing, but she is being, I think she's still being supportive.
And oh, yeah. She was giving Bess a moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bess is like, you know. Don't worry, I won't forget about the little people once I make it big. Bess and Ryan agree to help to interview the crew. Ryan comes back with a hold on nothing. But Bess has something the first assistant director, Doug Vexler, was hired to play Long Hook, and he was fired after only one day.
They go over and question him, and he's like, "Nah, man, I'm happy because I almost got heat stroke in that costume." I was like, "Yeah, I could believe that." But he's definitely the first, like, big misdirect, I feel. We have a few times throughout this episode where, like, it's probably him. And I'm really glad that that wasn't the case because it was would have been too obvious.
Yes, I agree.
He even had some blood on his hand that Ryan noticed it. I think it was Ryan. It's like, what's happened to your hand? And it was that he got permission from the, you know, police or whatever to go ahead and clean off the mirror.
Yeah, and then he lets us know about Jim Stanley, the original director who used to play these kind of pranks of writing, you know, on the mirrors, terrorizing the cast and crew. He was like, they're mostly immature, stupid pranks, but they got really dangerous. And he did it to kind of set the mood and get the performances. One time he switched a fake prop for a real one and someone lost two toes.
Cue them being like, "Hey, Bess, you ready?" And she's like, "I'm ready to die." I'm like, "Girl, you just might."
And oh my God, she saluted. She didn't just say "ready to die." She saluted, which is like, you get so excited, like you lose control over what you're doing. You're just like, "Oh, this would be a great time for me to salute."
I think I might have to change my MVPs during this conversation.
Yeah.
For the end of this episode, I think I have to change them. All right. Ryan tells Nancy that Jim Stanley died because Nancy's like, "Let's go question him or whatever. Like, let's look into what he's up to." And he's like, "Oh, we can't do that." And she then asks him to text Ace to get Jim's autopsy because Ace is working at the morgue. He's like, "You can text him yourself."
And she was like, "No, he doesn't want to hear from me."
But like a good supportive person, he goes ahead and messages Ace.
Yep, doesn't push her at all. Nancy, while she's doing her searching, she finds a video from set that was leaked. And it was Jim Stanley going nutso berserko and yelling for his dry person, which is just the person that holds an umbrella for him in the rain.
Yeah, he was wild.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not a healthy work environment.
Nope.
Which makes sense. All the things you hear about Hollywood, especially back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a little, I understand why it was in the 90s, but I'm like, ooh, I feel old. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like it was really more of like an 80s kind of movie, but they made it 90s for the purpose of having these people, some of these people still be around, not around, but like be at a certain age having worked on it back in the day.
I think you're right.
Well, okay, so the specific thing, it happens later, but when Ryan and Nancy actually put the movie on, you see like the title screen or whatever, it to me was styled off of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I agree.
And those first couple came out in the 80s. The bulk of them, I guess, came out in the 90s, but the first few came out in the 80s. So I saw that and I was like, oh, 80s. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, the 90s. Okay, that's probably because they need these people to be a certain age.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when I think Doug was talking about, or Doug or Bree talk about how it was 27 years ago, I was like, whoa, that was a long time ago. And I was like, oh my God, now it's been longer.
Oh, yeah, because it was 2020, yeah. Right?
But in this video is when they hear Jim Stanley say, "You're a nightmare," the exact same as what Nancy heard on set.
And I'm glad they gave us a little like flashback of that because I didn't hear it clearly the first time. And we go over to Lacey and Bess getting ready for Bess's big scene.
She is the happiest person I've ever seen surrounded by meat hooks.
Oh, my God. Remember, I think it was season 2 with Ace and the meat hook.
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
I completely forgot because that's how the Aglaika was going to get
Was going to get Ace, yeah.
Oh.
Weird. And almost got his platanker.
Yeah, and I mean, this whole movie is a hook man. So I feel like there's more symbolism here.
Yeah.
The end of their relationship. It got done, got hooked.
Well, even going, yeah, going with that, if I hadn't known that it was going to be a movie, Return of the Killer's Hook, I was thinking, like, I heard the title, and before I knew what the episode was going to be about, I was thinking that it was going to be the return to something that happened in a previous season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, was there a thing about someone killing people with hooks and stuff? So I was, like, brainstorming, yeah. And then you told me what the episode was. I was like, oh, okay. Nancy runs in and tells Lacey about the Your Nightmare situation, and she's like, oh, great, this is all happening, and I don't even get a podcast out of it. Why? Why can't she silk podcast? Can she not podcast about the situation because she's busy with her movie?
I feel like she could still do it.
Right?
Maybe because like she doesn't want to podcast about an actual ghost.
They established that Jim died in Horseshoe Bay. They're going to check if he died in a mysterious way, then do a ritual to cleanse the set. So Ryan leaves to go get Bess her cleansing supplies, and then they film the scene.
Nancy is so supportive and smiley for her, and she goes so she can watch like on the cameras and everything, or however, whatever they're going to do. Bess nails it with her lines. Coming. You're not the pizza guy.
Yeah. What was that? That was like really good.
Right. It was nothing like she rehearsed.
Obviously, Madison is an actress and a good actress, but Bess wasn't giving us that in The Claw. Mm-hmm. How did she actually do that? So when she first said it, I was like, oh my God, did this man like transform into like an actual scary thing? And then we saw that it was the actor. I was like, no, she's just slaying. And she runs into the hook room. And I, of course, knew what was going to happen because right. They laid it out. Hey, fake props became real props. I'm like, don't go in the hook room.
Mm-hmm.
She gets cut and she yells, cut.
Cut, 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 cut. And then Lacey's like, why did you yell cut? Because I bloody am.
So good.
And they're checking on her, and then she switches and she was like, but it made for a real realistic performance. It's like, best cool your jets there.
Back to George and Nick at the Claw. George found Bree at a vacation home hiding out, and she thinks that they should go talk to her.
Okay, she found her because she had Ace track her cell phone, which Nick is like, that's illegal and kind of aggressive.
I felt it was totally appropriate.
For a stranger, though?
I mean, she's missing.
Right. But I mean, I guess like I saw the police instead of.
I guess. I don't know. I was Team George. Am I allowed to say team here?
Oh, my God.
A little aggressive.
Yeah. Coming in aggressive here, too. I am also Team George, but I'm also team. I agree that it's illegal and you shouldn't do it. I would track your location, but I wouldn't track a councilman or councilwoman for my city.
Sure. George gets on Nick for not having a problem with it. And she's like, you're less curious than you used to be and less invested in the truth, which he's super offended by, but chooses to follow her anyways. She's like, I'm going. You can come with me or not. And he hesitates and huffs and puffs and gets up and follows her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad that she was right about all this and that it pays off. And as soon as he realizes she's right, he gets completely on board, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But before that happens, we are back on set and Bess is getting all bandaged.
And Lacey's saying, like, she was just in there. She knew they were all fake hooks.
She's a great director to be that hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm going to touch all these dang hooks.
Ryan comes back. He has the results of the autopsy. The guy drowned. He passed out in a tub in room 204. It was ruled an accidental death. No foul play.
At the Breaker Hotel, right? That was the hotel with the hidden passageways?
Mm-hmm.
Nice little throwback.
Nancy and Bess are going to go do the ritual. They ask Ryan to keep an eye on things. And he tops right in there, asks for his own chair. He doesn't need his name on it or anything, but just his own chair. And he probably needs a headset too, just so he can.
Lacey's response to that was flawless. I loved it. Mm-hmm. She's just like, oh, is that all? Basically, it was, oh, headphones? Yeah. Okay.
What a trooper Bess is, because she just got meat hooked and she's off to go do this ritual.
Well, she's not needed on set anymore because her take was flawless.
It's true.
I guess she didn't actually get killed.
No, she kind of just took herself out.
Much like the first to die often does.
Also, was she at her own house? Her character was
with meat hooks.
Yeah, because she was getting the pizza. And the guy comes, and it's not the pizza man, and chases her into her other room where she just happens to have all these hooks hanging out.
Yeah. Do you think the guy like showed up early and put all those hooks?
Like,
or does she work somewhere with a bunch of hooks and she stayed late and then she ordered a pizza? I hope she had all these discussions with Ace, like figuring out her character.
I'm sure she would.
She would 100% do that.
Yeah. So Nancy and Bess are sitting down. They're doing their ritual. There's some wind. The flames go out. A little bit anticlimactic. They're like, well, I guess it feels lighter here. I guess we're good.
The pause was so funny. And it's like, yeah, okay. It was really funny. Lacey is being called to check out the bathroom set. I'm like, well, that's not going to go well. Chief Lovett shows up and Bess is like, I don't want to see her. Lovett sees them, goes over to them, and we go over to Lacey in the bathroom.
The door closes on her. The lights are going crazy. Electricity is buzzing. And they make it there in time to pull her out, just in time that the lights don't crash down on her.
And Nancy saved her, right? Like, Nancy did that, not the chief of police.
Right.
Wild.
But then the chief of police immediately shuts down production.
Lovett's the worst.
She is terrible. All right, let's go ahead and, just like production, we'll take a break right here. And we'll be back in just a minute.
We are back. Nancy is saying the ritual failed, but that doesn't mean that the theory is wrong. She's really trying to calm Lacey. They're over at Icarus Hall. Damn place.
Lacey is near tears because she wants her crew to be safe. And then this is where we find out that her grandmother passed away a week before the movie started. And her grandma was her rock and who she would always call when she depended on her. And so she's feeling a little bit lost without her.
And of course, that pulls out all the heartstrings and is very easily relatable to how Nancy can't call the person she wants to call.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for different reasons, but...
Right, right. Nancy gives her some space so she can be alone and goes back to set to see if she missed something with the ritual.
She is at the filming house, hears a noise, and it's Doug! How she did not knock Doug with that... What was it? It was like a fire.
She got it from the fireplace.
Yeah. Like a little poker for the logs. Mm-hmm. She was holding it ready and then she sees him and screams. I am shocked he didn't get that to his head.
Yeah. After she took out the hook man earlier with the log.
Maybe that's why she hesitated.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing she did because he is not shady. But she's like, you say why you're here first. And he was there making sure that the set was secure and he was looking for the owner.
We find out that the crew has been drinking the water from the faucet because they wanted to be green, which I'm like, well, that also just makes sense. Like, you're in a working house. Why wouldn't you just drink the water?
Yeah.
But maybe it's different with like TV and Hollywood production and all that. Maybe they don't usually do that.
Yeah, I guess that depending on how functional the house was, I mean, obviously they rented this from someone who was using it. So I guess the water bill would be paid or whatever. But I guess there could be a situation where the water maybe would be turned on or
right.
or something. So maybe they just bring bottled water. But yeah, they wanted to be green. So they were drinking from the sink.
And Doug was saying that he tried to discourage him and like he doesn't want to say it. And Nancy's like, literally, whatever it is, just tell me. And he says that he swears when they drank the water, the stunt team, that their veins were turning black.
Ooh, which we all know is a thing from earlier this season and is the thing of the season, really.
Yeah.
So exciting that we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this episode, like the last time that happened and we got Bro Nancy and we got the whole Logan Abbott situation, it was a little confusing. Like, I got it eventually, but it was a little confusing about what exactly was happening. This episode, to me, the point was to really explain the rules of the season.
Yeah.
Because they broke it down maybe a little too much, but I appreciated it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, great. We are very clear on what the rules are. Something bad happens back in the day. You forgot it. You drink the water. You remember. And then other people drink the water and then they act like what your bad behavior was, more or less.
Yeah, I'm curious like how the water ties the people together.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just people connected to the trauma. So like in this specific situation, it's about what happened to the director. And so these people are all working around a director, you know.
Yeah.
They're just I don't know. But I was glad that they broke it down for us. So any future episodes, I'm like, okay, we're gonna catch up a little quicker, probably. Mm-hmm.
We also get very important information. The owner of this house is Bree, Councilwoman Bree Fortfield, and she was a PA on the original Long Hook.
She was the dry person.
Yeah. And we cut over to George and Nick knocking, and he keeps saying, like, nothing is wrong. And George is giving, like, she is already, like, a lawyer here. She is giving all these points about why something is up, and he is just in denial about it. And then Bree answers, and they're like, oh, well, we were just worried that when you didn't show up for the meetings. And so she invites them in.
And Nick declines Nancy's phone call?
Yes.
What are you, why? Why would you do that? It was very horror movie, mm-hmm. which was fun to go off the episode.
And that's also, I think, going with Nick, like, not being himself.
Yeah.
Inside, Bree is saying that she's ready to discuss the water stuff, but then she needs to go to get to an appointment. George gets a call for Nancy and actually answers because she's smart.
And Nancy is rightfully annoyed. She's like, read your text messages. But anyway, it's the reason I called. And George pretends that she's talking to Ted. And this was really cute how she's like overemphasizing certain things to say them to Nick, but do it in a funny way. Mm-hmm. She's like, I had a feeling it could happen again. And Nick's like, oh, crap.
Yeah. And then Nancy tells George, okay, you need to ask Bree about it, but be careful about it. We cut over to Icarus Hall first. Lacey's by herself, but she's hearing voices and the lights are popping and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's hearing things like, you're a nightmare, Lacey. We're going to show you what it's like. Door rattling. Like, people are trying to get in there and she's all alone.
Which was scary because now it's not on the set. So it's more mm-hmm. about her and what's going on than really the location. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, obviously at this point we know it's not the director haunting, but it was still kind of cool to see where it was going. Mm-hmm. Let me go over to George not being subtle with Bree and just spilling it all out.
Oh my god, she is coming in hot again. Like, okay, we know you worked on the original movie and the new crew is shooting at your house. About a week ago, you remembered something that you did that was pretty dark, right?
What I loved about it, though, was how Nick just dives right in with her. Because mm-hmm. now he's like, oh, yep, you've been right this whole time, so I'm going to be supportive. And they went back to being a team.
Yes. And he was cracking me up. Two episodes ago, he realized what social media was. And now he just keeps using it. Like, oh, we need to check on Bree. Let's check our socials. And then here, he's like, okay, well, you need to tell us everything unless you want me to post a picture and put it up on the socials. And I'm going to put your street address.
Yeah. Well, he also is aware that he is popular.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I could do this because I have a bunch of followers now. It's kind of wild.
So my comment here is he's back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They tell her the new director was almost killed today. You need to tell us right now. And so Bree is telling them what happened 27 years ago. She thought that she loved her experience on that movie. But then a week ago, out of nowhere, remembered the nightmare. And she panicked and left.
Really hammering home the rules for us, which mm-hmm. I appreciated.
Yeah. And she was worried, like, what if she's not the only one who remembered what happened? And I really like how this is now intercut, her telling the story along with Lacey. You know, she's hiding under the desk as her stunt crew is coming in.
Mm-hmm. The show does a good job of the back and forth.
It does. Bree is talking about how Jim Stanley was too powerful. He needed to be stopped. And so she talked to some crew members who had been some of his victims, and they all agreed to do one big scare.
Yeah, and the too powerful was like, he has too much pull, and if we ever want to work again, and that mm-hmm. was very real yeah. with why people don't necessarily speak up if they're not treated well on set, or if there's harassment or other things. So I liked that little real world moment and grounded it. If it was very believable, they're like, well, they're going to handle it themselves because if they tell someone, they won't get to work again.
Mm-hmm. So Lacey is trying to run. She trips.
I thought she got shoved.
She first trips over the rug.
Oh, yeah.
And then they end up throwing her into the window.
Oh, and she gets impaled.
Yeah. Right as Bree is talking about how she followed Jim Stanley with a prop knife. And he was so startled and she didn't realize that he had drawn a bath. And so he passed out, fell into the bathtub, and she just stood there and watched him as he drowned.
This was really kind of dark because then we've got the yeah. props team just standing there staring at her, much like Bree stared at Jim. I was like, dang.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried, like, because Lacey, we've only had Lacey two episodes. I was like, Lacey could die here.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, Nancy shows up with Bess. Bess just shoots the crew a look. It was kind of funny. Not funny, but like, oh God. Mm-hmm. And they got the magical stomach pump from Tristan.
Yay.
Off screen, unfortunately, but mm-hmm. it still happened. And they go and get the crew hooked up to the machine.
The crew is being very passive.
Well, because they're just frozen at that point. So I think they're just like out of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But once they got cured, I agree with you, they just sat there.
Yeah, they are being very patient also as Bess and Nancy just recap everything as they're putting the pump on them. And Bree is the second guilty person to remember their long buried crime. But isn't she actually the third? Because it was Abbott, yeah. Then Logan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the second, like, episode. The second incident. I guess
second incident. And then the crew members were infected by the emotions and memories of Bree. So the pattern is something out there can erase the terrible things that you did and replace them with pleasant memories.
Is Lacey just laying on the floor?
No, they said that help was already coming. Okay, like an ambulance came for her.
I missed that. Okay, yeah. Good.
And then the sludgy water is going to find you and it undoes it all. And then they talk about as for the eight bodies, and Bess is like, that's tomorrow's night, migraine. You know, let's just be happy that we have Tristan loaned us his pump again.
She emphasizes that she loaned him vintage earrings as collateral. That's not quite the same thing as Nancy's necklace. It's just earrings.
It is. And I don't think she's going to get them back because the pump breaks. Yeah. It fixes all them, but then it breaks. And
I guess four at one was too much.
Why didn't they take turns?
I don't know. Because these girls be panicking sometimes.
I guess so.
Now there's none. It was the only one in existence. They're like, well, what are we going to do? And
Nancy's like, do not tell the glasses. We know what they're capable of. I'll find a way to fix it.
Yeah, we're going to have to deal with them at some point. We've only seen them in that first episode.
Yeah.
But they'll be back.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
100%. And Nick and George show up with Bree. She confesses more. Her father said he could make the problem and the body go away with a visit to the Black Door. And naturally, he's dead, so they can't go question him about it.
She's like, well, what do you guys want? And George tells her that she should resign.
Justice.
Yeah. And Bree's like, well, why would I do that? And Nick is once again on the social media train. He's like, okay, well, we may not have the hard evidence, but in the court of public opinion, I can put it all over my social media and it'll be brutal.
It's pretty great. Bree is awfully high and mighty. I was like, ma'am, you're basically confessing to a murder and a cover-up, and you're just like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, yeah. You should.
Yeah.
She clearly doesn't feel too bad about it.
No, she's like, okay, I'll resign, but then we're even. And Nick's like, Jim Stanley died. You resigned. So I think you came out ahead.
Get her, Nick. Get her.
She looks pretty sheepish as she takes off.
And then Nick and George apologize to each other at the same time. And George actually said, I'm sorry, unlike a couple episodes ago where it was a half-assed apology.
Yes, I love this. And then George asks for a little less space because she misses her best friend.
Oh.
And he agrees. And he thanks her for saying what she did about him being on that he should be on the city council. And he says that he's going to lobby for her spot.
Yay. Yeah. Nancy goes to the Claw where the movie is being filmed, and Lacey apparently wasn't too injured because she's working, so that's good.
Yeah.
Crew's being overly nice to her, and they're going to get to finish the movie after all.
I really like that Lacey isn't holding it against her crew. Like, she understands, okay, there was something supernatural going on. Like, she trusts Nancy about that, and now she trusts her crew, and they are still working on there.
Yeah, they're like family.
Yeah.
And she admits that she did need a Nancy Drew. Which is cute.
Yeah, and then she paid her, which was needed.
Well, yuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
And shocker, but solving the case and getting a check didn't make her magically happy. Are you shocked, Sarah?
I feel so shocked.
Not at all.
So Lacey kind of gives her a pep talk and talks about how after she lost her grandmother, she was numb. And carrying all that grief made it hard to find the joy in other things. And tells her that sometimes you have to grieve in order to be free to feel something else.
I love that.
Yeah.
What a good two-episode character.
Yeah.
Like, she got actual things to do both episodes she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how the season's going. She could be in one more. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe we have like a 5-year time jump, which would be unheard of. And she comes back to film the sequel.
And Bess has a real role. Sorry.
Oh my God. That'd be so great.
No, because she got murdered.
Okay. Well, all right. So she's not going to do a sequel. She's going to do just a completely new movie.
There you go. There you go. All right. And then, speaking of Bess, she gets a visit from Lovett at the Historical Society. Lovett is mad about the circle of salt she saw. And she says, oh my God, I don't care what you do in private, just not in public. Keep this stuff to yourself, blah, blah, blah. This lady is not my friend.
No. No, I was very frustrated. And Bess is standing up for herself. Like, why do you find it such a threat? You know that it's real.
Yeah, this town is my home too, which I love that.
Yeah, and as long as I'm keeper, I'm going to do whatever I can to defend it. And Lovett's like, well, that's not your job, Ms. Marvin. Stay in your lane. And let's keep the history natural.
Yeah, don't like this lady.
Nope.
But I do love how the show is never afraid to just say exactly how it feels about real world stuff.
Yep, I completely agree.
So then one of the cutest scenes, we have Ryan showing up to Nancy's with food. And she's about to text Ace that she misses him.
Their text chain was so cute.
Remind us what it was.
Nancy's like, oh, or am I going to be co-hosting a Seder or Seder, which is like a Jewish religious. And he says, well, Bess will be co-hosting, but you'll be there too. And she's like, oh, how romantic. And he goes, I'll be more romantic after we break the curse.
Oh.
And then he's still awake and then nothing.
Oh. So that was from whenever.
Yeah.
Before they had their little... Before he's basically like, we shouldn't hang out anymore, last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Ryan is telling her, like, I know you don't want to talk about this with your parents, but I remember heartbreak, you know, so I am here if you want to talk. And she immediately is like, what if I can't get over Ace?
She opened up to him, mm-hmm. and he's like, you will. And then he promises that she will.
Yeah, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
Ugh. And then he pulls out the movie, and her reaction was hilarious.
But in the meantime, let's watch this.
She, like, melts into the couch. She's like, no! Which I don't blame her. You just dealt with all this stuff about it.
And I feel like this also was a very, like, parent-child moment where it's like, okay, well, now you gotta do this old thing from the 90s that I used to enjoy.
She's like, not that. Yeah, very cute. And this is where I was like, oh, the intro looks like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the line from the trailer where Nancy's, you got to tell me when the jump scares are coming. So Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong. Have we seen all of the trailer except the giant spider?
I forgot about the spider. I blocked it out.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks maybe, for the reminder.
Maybe that means next episode.
I think I heard that it's episode 7 or 8.
Oh my gosh. Well, there might be other things in the trailer than that haven't. How did you hear that? You're looking for it?
No, people are saying stuff on Twitter, and I don't always know if it's people like connected with the show or not.
Okay. All right. Well, they watch it, and he scares her while she's like opening her little box or whatever. I thought it was cute because there's like a millisecond where he like kind of like watches what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that was nice. He's not trying to like knock the food off of her lap.
Yeah.
If she had, though, I would have kicked him out.
Oh, yeah.
Be like,
no, I would have made him clean up.
Get the hell out. Yeah. Yes. Clean up. Go get me more food and then leave.
Although, maybe if you leave Chinese food all around, that might attract Chunky.
Oh, my God. That might attract Chunky. Just take the rice that fell on the floor and sprinkle it outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's genius.
And then we see that Ace was also going to text Nancy.
So he didn't like, we saw Nancy type, I miss you, and then delete it. Like, he is just, you can see, like, his thumb's shaking. Like, he doesn't know what to type.
Here's a theory. Maybe he saw that she was typing.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he was just checking it and saw that she was typing. And then he, like, was, like, lingering after she deleted it.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
And then Bess brings... the sadder, the better. Then Bess brings him food from his mom. I just love all the little pairings we're getting. I mean, mm-hmm. we've had these pairings.
Right, but
Ryan and Nancy is really good. And Bess and Ace is really good. And Nick and George. We haven't had much George and... We haven't had any George and Bess this season.
Like they worked together, like, with the whole group.
Yeah, we need a little bit. We need a scene with... The first episode, I was like, man, the girls are pulling their weight. And then we haven't seen the girls together since.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they were like, let's get them all together.
Ace says that Nick has run him up to speed about Bree and the water and everything. And he got to thinking and he said that he found in the newsletters in the archives for the county a photo of Bree's dad and Judge Abbott. And they were fishing buddies.
Oh.
So they were friends and they were both part of the town's biggest secret.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm enjoying the season. I like the through line. I like the character moments. I think it's good. I'm excited about where it's going.
I very much am too. I really like that it very much is. She was depressed this episode because of her and Ace.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like that wasn't the episode.
Yeah.
So I like that it's there, it's present, but it's not like overshadowing everything.
They're not lingering too much on any storylines. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like anything's rushed because mm-hmm. we're getting continuity, but it's not taking, like, if there's a storyline you don't particularly care in, it's not going to deter you from the show because there's never going to be an episode that's all about that one thing.
Right.
All right, Sarah, do you have anything for the Hardy Party? Any connections to Ace being a Hardy boy?
So I have been playing Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon. I believe that's what this one's called. And it's one of the Nancy Drew computer games.
Is it
from the 90s, just like Longhorn?
Oh, nice. Is it one you'd played before?
No, I have not played this one. I think I've started it and then I've gotten distracted. So I haven't actually like played through it. But I feel like I might be close to the end. But Frank and Joe Hardy are in it. And so you play as Nancy and I'm talking to them and I'm like, yeah, that's Ace.
Joe, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Frank is Grant.
Yeah. Because if you change the first and last letter of Frank, you could get Grant.
Mm-hmm. And if you change the first and second letter of Ace, you get Joe.
Yep.
So they're just two letters off and there's two brothers.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, Sarah. MVPs. Super Sleuth, a.k.a. Most Helpful. I am very confident in my answer, but I'm very excited to hear yours because I think they're going to be different.
Super Sleuth, I'm going with Ryan this episode.
They weren't different.
Because he was very good at helping find out how to help Nancy and also how to, you know, solve the whole issue with the movie and all that. I was like, it wasn't actually a ghost. So I was like trying to figure out the case. He was good with the case.
Did he help with the case? I guess he was helping.
Well, yeah, because he was doing stuff like going and interviewing people. He was running errands and just giving her information and high fives when needed.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He was along for the whole thing, for sure, definitely. Yeah. I gave it to him for helping her.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first, like, multiple people asked her, like, messaged her and asked her, like, we can talk and whatever, but she finally opened up to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in the long run for Nancy's well-being, I think he helped her the most.
Yes. Which
she's the main character, and she is the ultimate super sleuth, so I give it to him for this episode. Oh, interesting. Okay. What about most entertaining?
I think I got to go with Bess.
All right. It's the first episode that we agree. I wasn't going to because I think I've given Bess one of them every single episode. I really wasn't going to until we talked about it. Why did you give it to her?
I just love because I have this connection because we've both been in movies now. No, I just thought that it was great and it very much fit with her character to want to be the best long hook victim number one that there could be.
Blimey, mate!
And that's why you picked it.
Literally.
Just that line.
No, other things too. Just her excitement and she's just such a strong character.
Mm-hmm.
And Madison's hilarious.
Yes.
But that one line is probably the hardest I've laughed. It's the hardest I've laughed this season.
Yeah.
Easily. I before that, I was going to give it to Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that she was really like mopey Nancy, sad Nancy. It's just funny. Kennedy's really good at levels.
Yeah.
And kind of just like
sad isn't one she does much. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed that as well for an honorable mention. All right. What is the next episode called, Sarah?
All right. Next episode is The Oracle of the Whispering Remains.
Not the big scary spider.
Oh, my God. What if it's the remains of a spider that gets like reanimated? And the nightmares are back.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. You can find Sarah on her other podcast, Gotham Night Watch. A couple more episodes, right, Sarah? One or two?
Finale's coming out.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to have a recap for the season.
Cool. You can check her out there. You can hear me over at the Brotherhood of Batman. Or as Nick would say, you could find me on Instagram at BBWSunshine86. Try to get me. Oh, yeah. In a couple months, you'll get to see me wearing that shirt Nick wore. All right. Until next time, keep on sleuthing.
Bye. I'm Sarah.
I'm Jake.
And we invite you to join us on the Gotham Knights Watch podcast for a weekly recap and discussion of the CW show Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights follows Bruce Wayne's adopted son and his unlikely friends who are accused of killing the Caped Crusader.
The world's greatest detective may be gone, but we will dig up any clues that we can along the way.
Help us solve this mystery and tune in to the Gotham Knights Watch podcast.